places. And Jesus not only wrote this about himself, but he gave it to us as a blueprint. So immediately I thought, well, it's massively important. You know, the bigger Jesus is in your heart, the more love you'll show to someone else. The way you respond to people is a complete show of how big Jesus is in your life. So I think it's quite important. And tonight we're going to be looking at Jesus' encounter with Peter. Now, I love Peter. I really do. But before Jesus, whether it was while you were washing the dishes or on a bus to school or even in church, when was it that you actually had an encounter with Jesus? Now, what did you feel? What was it like? Was your life changed? And if you've not had an encounter with Jesus yet, how would you like that to be? What would you like him to say? What would you like to feel? I'm going to share a little bit about my story. I know we're talking about Peter tonight, but I want to show you what I mean. When I was 16 years old, I was still in South Africa then, and I was listening to a message by a man called Nasser Siddiqui. He's a big American preacher. And he spoke about worship, and I thought, oh, that's great. And something birthed in my heart, and as a 16-year-old, I went into my room, and I worshiped God for maybe an hour, maybe a bit more. But something happened in my heart that's never happened. I grew up in church, so I always, you know, felt like I knew Jesus, but I felt that I actually met Jesus for like the first time. And from that moment onwards, he birthed a passion in my heart that I could say I've never had since, as I did when I was 16, to the point where I would rush to get home from school just so I could spend time with Jesus. I used to cry, longing to be with him. I couldn't wait to tell everybody about what Jesus had done for me. And that's the kind of encounter I'm talking about. But we're going to look at Peter. So we're reading from John 13 today. I don't actually know what page it is in the Bibles. Sorry. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. I'm going to go from verse 4. And this is about Jesus. It says, Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. I'm going to stop there. And I want to look again at verse 8. I don't know if it's up there, but verse 8 says, when Jesus came to wash Peter's feet, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Now, I mean, I can relate to the story because in South Africa, we'd have massive feet washing services, if you want to call them that. And with a service of 2,000 people, you would hope that you were not the last in the queue, because by the time you got to the front, the water was no longer water, but something else. So, but Peter here, he says to Jesus, Lord, you will never wash my feet. Now, and I maybe shouldn't say this, but Peter is by far my most favorite disciple. And the reason being is he's probably the most relatable disciple than any of them. You know, a lot of them seem to be walking on clouds of spirituality, but Peter seemed like down to earth. I mean, just a few facts about Peter, and a lot of people don't think about this, but he was one of the first to walk on water. Jesus was the first. He was the next one to walk on water, and he sank. He was the one who rebuked Jesus, and Jesus said, you've got the devil in you, when he did that. He was the one that when Jesus said, will you pray with me, he fell asleep. He was the one that he cuts off someone's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was the one that denied Christ. Now, that's not painting a very big picture of Peter. A lot of people call him Saint Peter, and they think, oh, he was this great man that never did anything wrong. But there was something about Peter that I thought, well, there's something about him that just makes me relate to him. You know, maybe because he was a sinful man and Jesus still loved him. But I do want to read again verse 9. And verse 9 says, so Jesus said, first of all to him, sorry, verse 8, Jesus said to him, if you do not let me wash you, you have no part in me. And Peter changes straight away and he says, No, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Now, how did he change so quickly? He went from, Lord, you will never wash my feet, to, okay, Lord, not just my feet, but all of me. Wash my hands and my head as well. And it's something because there's something in Peter's character that I think we forget. There's something quite special. Now, I really, while I was preparing for this and God was speaking to my heart, I really felt that I needed to read John 21 as well. Because I thought that was really important. And I felt God keep on bringing me back to the scripture. Right. And so I'm not going to go through the whole story because it's quite long. But Jesus had died. Peter had denied him. Right. And he was on a boat fishing. And he sees Jesus. And there's a bit of a story on what happened, but I'm not going to go into that. He sees Jesus and he jumps out the boat and he swims to the shore and he says, oh, it's Jesus. And Jesus sits with him. And I'm going to read from verse 15. I think I've got it up there. Yeah. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Now I'm going to go to verse 19. And just the last part of that verse says, and when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now, I don't know how much you know about Peter's life after Jesus had ascended. After he had ascended, Peter actually was the first person to lead 3,000 people to Christ in one sermon. Imagine a sermon of 3,000 people and every single one of them gives their hearts to Christ. Imagine what kind of man. He went from a denier to someone who made disciples. Not only that, but it's said that Peter died a martyr as well. He died confessing Christ at the end. Now, I looked at this and I thought, well, Jesus, he's not the most qualified person. He's not the most qualified person to be used by you. He's a sinner. Did you see how much he said wrong and how much he did wrong? You know, he denied you. He fell asleep when you wanted him to pray. You know, when he walked on the water, he sank. I mean, he just did not fit the bill. He didn't go to Bible college. I mean, this guy didn't seem to fit the bill. But Jesus chose him. And Jesus actually said of Peter, because what had happened is Jesus was walking with his disciples, and he said to them, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, some say Elijah, and some say John the Baptist. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if you want to read that, that's in Matthew 16. But I looked at that scripture and I thought, well, I can see why you used Peter. And it's because of John 13 and John 21 more than anything, because he had a character trait in him that Jesus chose him. And the two things it was he had a passion for Christ. You see, what we forget is that he did a lot wrong, but he was always there. He was always there. He was there when everybody turned away from Christ. And Jesus turned to him and said, are you going to go as well? And Peter said, where am I going to go? You have the words of life. And he was there when Jesus was in the garden praying. And he was there when Jesus was transfigured. Peter was everywhere. And it shows that he had a passion for Christ. He had a passion to follow Christ, which is why he was chosen. Why he was chosen to do great things for God. And of course, the second thing is that he had a love for God, a love for Jesus, because Jesus said, do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And it just made me realize that when Jesus came to Peter and said, I'm going to wash your feet, and Peter said, no, the moment Jesus threatened saying, you will not have a part in me, Peter changed straight away, and he said, oh, no, I want to have a part in you. And don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands and my head as well. Wash all of me. And it just shows something great about Peter and what we can do. You see, Jesus is not looking for the most qualified person. You know, he's not looking for the one who has the most degrees, and I'm not against anyone who's got degrees. All right? He's looking for someone who has a passion for him and a love for him as well. And that's what Peter had. You see, if Jesus came to us now and said, Heather, I want you to give me Sundays as your time. I want you to give me a part of your time. Is my reaction to Jesus, yes, Lord, not only Sundays, but I will give you all my time. I will make sure that I don't just fit you into my life, but I fit my life into you. Or if Jesus says to me, you've got a sin in your heart, I want to remove it from you. Is my response, Lord, not just that sin, but all my sin. Change all of me. You see, again, like I say, Peter, when Jesus came to him and said, "There may be a, you won't have a part in me if you don't let me wash your feet," he immediately changed and said, Lord, take all of me. Take all of me. And I'm just going to make one small reference to David, King David. We all have read his story a lot. I'm sure everybody's come through Children's Church. But there's something very interesting about David that people forget. God said to David that he was a man after his own heart. And David wanted to build God a house, a temple, a church. And God came to him and said, you can't build me a house because you've shed too much blood. Now, most people would be like, oh, fine. You know, that's not very nice. He's not a very cool God. But he did, and his response was, okay, if I can't build a house for you, I will pay for it. And did you know that David financed the building of the temple, and he left it all to Solomon to give to Solomon to do? It just shows his heart. You see, like I've said before, the Lord is not looking for someone who can lead and talk to thousands of people. He's not looking for someone who has in-depth knowledge of the scriptures necessarily. He's looking for someone who has a passion, just like Peter, who had a passion for Christ and said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, I've done things wrong. You see, it doesn't actually matter what you've done. Your sin up until today does not matter in any way as long as you're willing to continue to love Jesus and continue to have a passion for him. And that's the question I ask today is, will you follow him? Will you follow him unconditionally? Will you say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you with everything I have? You see, the biggest question I ask myself is, if someone came to me now and I was accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in my life to find me guilty? In my words, in my actions, and in my time, would there be enough? And I think in Peter's life there was, because he was there everywhere. When the doors opened, he was there. You know, if you come from a place where you've done things wrong and you have sinned and you've said the wrong thing, just like Peter, the Lord is still calling you saying, will you have a passion for me? Will you love me with everything that you've got? If Jesus were to take everything from you now, would you still love him? And that's the question. Like Peter died a martyr and he died with Jesus' names on his lips. Will we follow him the same way is the question I ask. And that's all I actually wanted to say. So could I pray, if that's all right? Lord, we just pray, Father God, that you would place in us a passion for your name, Lord, a passion for your presence, Father God. I pray, Lord, that we would not live our lives for ourselves, but that we would live for you. And that, Lord, anything you required of us or anything you wanted from us, that we'd be willing to give, not because of who we are, Lord, but because of who you are and what you've done in our lives, Father God. Father, I just pray that you would fill every person here with your presence, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you, Father God, an encounter that would change their lives and change their hearts, Father God. And I ask you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.